This is the Power Walk Ministries broadcast with Pastor Paul Cannings. Be Vigilant is a timely series for the world in which we live today. It's based on Joshua chapter 6. And there we're taken to the capture of the city of Jericho through the most unconventional military methods. Many of us feel like we've hit a brick wall with seemingly no options left for situations that we face. But what did God require of Joshua and the people of Israel of that day? Exploring how we can apply this to the walls that we face, here's Pastor Cannings with some critical takeaways in this message, Faith Walks.
You know, I want to start with a question today. Are the obstacles you and I face, do they direct our lives or do they expose our faith? I'll say it again. Do the obstacles we face in our lives, do they become a maze where we're just going from one obstacle to the next and this one makes me go this way and this one makes me go that way? Or do obstacles in our lives expose our faith and how we approach it from a biblical perspective? Faith is not what I grab in the sky. Faith is what I believe in my heart based on what the Word of God is saying that I've studied in my mind. And I'm willing, because of my heart, to become passionate about obeying it. So I'm not just a hearer, I'm a doer. We seek God first. We pray. We call for wisdom. We see how we're supposed to approach it and what He's telling us to do when we approach it. Is that how we face the walls? Because that's exactly what we're talking about here in the book of Joshua chapter 6. When we dive into verse 15, we've looked at chapter 6 verse 1 through verse 5. Because as we face all the difficulties that life can bring, think for a minute, you have all kinds of issues that could pop up. We're in the last days. In the last days, there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be storms. There's going to be all kinds of different plagues. And they're happening. So the further and further along we go, the faster they happen. They've been happening. They just happen more repetitively than ever before. Remember, it's like birth pains, you know. It starts off here, and then it speeds up, and we know the baby's coming. So it's the same thing. When we see these things take place in time and in space, if we're not able to approach life where we are looking more to the Word of God than to the obstacle we face, because the obstacle we face ends up directing us to the Word of God, driving us to our knees, getting us more involved in making the thing that's going to transform our communities and the world more productive. The only thing, only organism that God is committed to is the church. That's it. He's not committed to nothing else. He's the head of the church. It's His body. Nothing else. I'm glad to have Power Walk, but Power Walk's mission is to empower the church, because the church is the change agent, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through verse 23. So if we as a church are not willing to do what the church is called to, and not just want to walk into a worship service and get out in an hour and really get involved in trying to make the church productive, not the way we see it, but under the pastor's vision, and how the pastor see that vision working, because he tells us to give him double honor. So when we function in this manner and we accept the structure, the government structure that God has put in place, that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 through 11 He's telling us is not old. It's suitable for the fullness of times. God is seeing everything that can happen, and He's organized the church to deal with all of it. He says that the church is a place that He would withstand the attacks of Satan. It has the keys to the gates of Hades. It announces wisdom to Satan. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 through 10. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through verse 18, we have the keys. We keep Satan from destroying the earth. We are the salt and the light of the earth. When you go to Revelation, you see five churches out of seven churches fail, and Jesus Christ has to establish His throne and direct what's going to happen on the earth. So, how do we then, in the midst of all that we're going through, make the church more viable? Using our spiritual gift, doing what we need to do? Or do we just let the problems expose our lack of faith? Well, this is what is going on right here in verse 15 of chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. This is what he teaches us. He says in verse 15, he says, "And it came to pass on the seventh day." In other words, the time is now. Okay, walking around the walls of Jericho with folks inside scared. Yeah, it's intimidating. Those guys, God actually called them valiant warriors. They're not afraid to die. They're not afraid to fight you and go through whatever obstacles and difficulties they face. That's why you don't find anybody attacking them. They know who these people in the walls of Jericho are like. But they're afraid. The walls are double and reinforced. They ain't coming out the walls. They lock the gates. God is saying, no, this is the time you act beyond the walls and hear the steps. Now let's go through the walls. Let's go into this marriage and deal with what it means to love a wife unconditionally. God is saying, nope, I understand the marriage is tough. I'm not directing you to her. I'm directing you to me. You keep reflecting off of her. I need you to reflect off of me. I'm tired of this man. He's not saved. What does God say about living with an unsaved person? How you function with that in 1 Peter chapter 3? See, in other words, we can go to church. We could read through the Bible every year. We can learn all of the passages of Scripture and memorize texts. We can have all of that. But when the time comes, we have to go through the wall. Not around it, through it. And that's what he's talking about here in this text. Because when he says it came to pass, he says on the seventh day. He told them when it's time. He gave them the timetable. God many times tell us on a timetable. He said the first day of the week, go worship me. He gives us timetables. He literally say, don't let anger just keep going on and on and on. No, you got to address it, because in that same passage in Ephesians chapter 4, it will become bitterness, slander, resentment if you just let it sit around. There's a timetable to that. He says to us, pray without ceasing. Do it every day. There's a timetable. So we just can't keep waiting forever. You know, people love to wait because they love that verse. Wait upon the Lord and he shall renew my strength. We love that verse. But the waiting in that text, when you study it in Isaiah 40, is not just sitting around waiting, watching TV. It's time to act. God is going to put us in those scenarios like he has Joshua, because sometimes he determines the time in which we must act. He teaches us. He says, and that day arose early after the dawning of the day and compassed the city. That's what I love about this. Obedience to God is never delayed. It's never delayed. If you wait for the feeling, if you wait for the right time, if you wait, a delayed obedience leads to our defeat, because we become complacent and more complacent. This is exactly what you saw when they got past the Red Sea and kept arguing with him in the book of Numbers. The longer they took to obey him is the more God eventually said, not going to do anything with you. Then they rise up and decided they're going to go into promised land and fight themselves, and they died. There was a time on it. So they rose up. They got up early in the morning, because when we're going to obey God, it's time to go through the wall, try to go through the problems that we face, it's immediate. It's not that we automatically get immediate results. It's not that we're going to automatically see the immediate victory. The issue isn't none of those things. The issue is, will I obey God when he tells me to? That's it. We don't control results. We only control our will to either obey God or not obey God. That is all we control. The rest is on him. You see, that's why he says right here, he says, come past the city, verse 15 of Joshua chapter 6, after the same manner seven times. His obedience has to be based on his description of the word of God. We need to look into the context and learn from the context and do some historical studies. Get a study Bible, a good study Bible. Study what's going on in that time, what's taking place in that. Let me give, for instance, why does David get fired up when it comes to Goliath? Let's just pick that one. David tells us why he does. David says he is an uncircumcised Philistine, and he's taunting the army of God. The minute you read that verse, you know why David is saying, what do I get for killing him? Philistine and uncircumcised. Then he decides to taunt the army of God. God says, anybody to curse you is cursed. That's why David wants to know, I don't need the armor. Let's go get this done. What made David fired up to go do it? Simply because he takes the word of God, he goes to it meticulously and get it done. So we have to be careful when we look at the text to make sure that when we are analyzing the text, we are doing it based on the true word of God. That's why the Bible says, I give you pastor teachers. I'm going to give you people with the gift of teaching. I'm going to give you people with the gift of knowledge. I'm going to give you people with the gift of wisdom. I'm going to give you these people. Why is that important? Because they have to understand the text. And he's literally telling us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 through 15, that we cannot, the known person, that's a natural person that goes to the scripture with a natural mind, could ever get it. He said they could never get it. That's why people with great educational backgrounds that don't have any teaching in the scriptures and don't seek to walk in the spirit, they could be in the best seminaries, but they don't walk in the word that they actually teach. The Bible says the spirit of God does not come up inside of them so they grow and mature in the spirit of God. So he illuminates the word of God. No person, that's why the Holy Spirit is in us, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. We want to dance about him, get excited about him, do all these different fantastic things. But he's saying, no, the Spirit came to teach us the Word of God, and he came to guide us in the truth. Why? When I get saved, Jesus is the way. The Spirit is the truth. So that we can experience why Christ died. He came to give us life and life abundantly. Wisdom, love when there's hate. Peace when there's trouble. He came to give us life, strength for long suffering. He came to give us life and life abundantly. So no matter what happens to us, we could be like Paul. I can press towards the mark of the high calling. No matter if they have me under house arrest talking about killing me, I know what I can do because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The issue that we face is to make sure that we connect with the Spirit of God by making sure we have the truth. We act on that truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 11 says, we will never stumble. I pray today that you don't run from walls. You ask God when it's his time to go through it. Stay focused.
Thank you, Pastor Cannings. The Lord told Joshua precisely what they were supposed to do, and we see God's power working hand in hand with the people's obedience. That guaranteed the victory. For a copy of this series, log on to powerwalkministries.org or call us at 281-260-7402. And with all the uncertainty in our world today, we'd like to point you to Pastor Canning's book, Biblical Answers for the 21st Century. It provides a clear outline of the role and responsibility for the church and every believer in our culture today.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Cannings. It's been a pleasure coming into your home, maybe your car. It's been a blessing to serve you. And I hope that you will become a partner as we seek to continue to serve God in an effective manner. Many times he opens up so many doors, but what we lack is resources to get it done. You can't go through every door, but you know the ones that are great fit for our ministry to touch lives. So I pray that you will become a Power Walk partner as we power walk together to impact lives. Thank you for listening. It's been a blessing serving you.
That's 281-260-7402. Once again, our web address is powerwalkministries.org. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 920-517, Houston, Texas, 77092. And here's a special announcement. Please join Pastor Cannings at the Love and Light Ministries, celebrating their 21st anniversary as well as the Pastors Conference in the beautiful island of Barbados. Please join us March 31st through April 3rd, 2023 at St. George Secondary School, St. George, Barbados. For more information, please call 246-436-5256. Now, this is a different phone number than our general contact information phone number. If you'd like to know more about Pastor Canning's trip to Barbados and how you can join him, call 246-436-5256. And now remember to seek God through his word, prayer, and asking for wisdom when deciding how to approach your walls today.